The gospel reading today, as our Lord speaks these parables, we certainly can understand the point. If you find this hidden treasure and you sell everything you have to go and buy the field, you've got the treasure. If you find that one pearl of great price and you go and sell everything you have so you can buy that pearl, now it's yours. But it's what comes after that that becomes important, not just the part about the fish in the sea, but rather the Lord talks about how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace. We have to then recognize what our Lord is saying isn't just, well, okay, if you find something and you make a decision in that way, it's a matter of truly living it. For instance, those of you who are married, you have made a decision. You gave up everything to be able to have this one person, to live your life for that one person. And it's easy to pull back from that. It's easy to forget to love that person. It's easy to forget to pray for that person. We'd like to be able to say, oh no, I would never do that. Yeah, we do, rather frequently. And so we have to look at it and say, have I really bought that field? Have I really bought that pearl? And think about that. It certainly is in context with our Lord, but even on the natural level, can we say that? Because when this person buys the field or buys this pearl, they don't have anything left. They sold everything that they had in order to get that one thing. And yet what we keep trying to do is say, well, I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I want to have this and I still want all this other stuff. It's like, no, if I've made a decision, this is the direction I'm going, I need to leave the rest of this behind. And that's what we have to do with our blessed Lord. To be able to look at this and say, if I have chosen Jesus, then I need to put everything else behind. And anything that's going to lead me away from him, I need to reject. That's where we get ourselves into trouble. We keep trying to make friends with the world. We keep trying to find a way to compromise. We keep trying to find a way to fit in. You can't. Look at what's going on in the world. It's gotten to the point where you don't even fit in the church anymore, let alone in the world. The world has gone so insane, and then we're still trying to fit in? It doesn't work. And if the world is insane and we want to fit in, what does that say about us? Like I said, we barely fit in the church anymore. You hardly recognize it with the nonsense that's coming out these days. So what we have to do is make sure that our focus remains on Jesus. If our focus is on all the goofiness that's going on, we're going to get angry and we're going to walk away. Or we're going to become self-righteous and try and justify ourselves as to why what I'm doing is okay, but what these people are doing is wrong. That's not what anybody needs. We need Jesus. It's just that simple. Yeah, we have to acknowledge the foolishness and the stupidity and all the other stuff. We don't need to be getting caught up in it. What good does it do anybody? But having the Lord, that's the greatest good for anybody. And that's where we need to put our focus, and that's where we need to keep our focus. So if we're going to honestly say, I have chosen Jesus, he is my pearl of great price, he is the hidden treasure, then are we really living that? Are we really putting him as the focal point? Or look at it another way. When I said yes to Jesus, did I put everything else behind? Or am I still trying to find a way of making Jesus fit with the rest of my pagan life? It doesn't work. It never has, and it never will. And even when you think about what St. Paul had to say today, it was pretty strong what he said, talking about, you know, somebody who gives herself over to pleasures, said, They're dead while still alive. Well, welcome to America. Everything is about pleasure. Everything is about the senses. Everything is about fun and excitement and feel good and whatever. St. Paul's going to look at us and say, you're dead while you're alive. So again, we need to see the ramifications of these attempts at trying to somehow figure out how we can fit in with the world and still be united with Jesus. Number one, what that tells us is that Jesus isn't our top priority. He is a priority, not the priority. Because if he was the priority, anything that doesn't move toward him is going to be gone. Let's admit it. We haven't done that, most of us. So we've got him as a priority, but we still want to live our way. We still want all the pagan stuff. We still want all the worldly stuff. We still want all my selfish stuff. And all that does is gravitate against Jesus. So that's what we really need to be looking at. Because when the Lord tells us in this context that the angels are going to go out at the end and there's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. Remember, the Lord talked about that specifically. He said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so we can say, Lord, Lord, all day long, and we can sure sound good, but if we aren't really willing to do what God wants us to do, if we aren't putting ourselves into God's will, what good are we? The living dead. So that's where we have to really look seriously at this. And again, this is going to become super important as we move along here in the next little bit. Because everything might be taken away. Are you willing to lose it all? What is really most important? What are you going to die for? Your TV set? Your china? Your widget collection that's hanging on the wall? Your car? Your house? Or Jesus? Or none of the above? That's what we really have to look at. What really is most important? What am I willing to die for? Because that's what's most important to me. I suspect most of us are going to be willing to die for our children. But does it go anywhere beyond that? What are we going to be devastated by if they take it away? They take all of our junk. We should be rejoicing rather than crying. But if they take away our ability to get to the sacraments, if they take away all the external things that we've got, we still have Jesus on the inside. He's the buried treasure. He's hidden within. They can take away everything and we still have him. They can take away everything and we can still do his will. But that will only happen if he is really the top priority, if we're willing to sell everything to have him. So since most people in America aren't really willing to do that, maybe in God's providence, he's going to use some of these evil people to actually help us to do that. They'll do it for us. We don't have to sell it. They'll just take it. Praise the Lord. We just need to be focused on him. And if he's all that we have, praise God. Then we've got everything. The saints tell us if we are attached even to one thing, the smallest, tiniest little thing, whatever it is, then we don't have God in his fullness. We're detached from everything. Then God, who is all in all, then we have him entirely. We've got it all, if that's the case. Not in the Klaus Schwab way again. You'll have nothing and be happy. But truly, we will have Jesus. And we have fulfillment. We've got everything because we have him. Is that really where our focus is? Are we willing to do that? That's what we need to really be looking at seriously, because the time is coming and it's coming fast. So we need to be ready. By that I mean internally. Look at our prayer life. Look at what's going on in our lives and in the world, and really make a decision about where the priorities lie. He is the pearl of great price. He is the buried treasure. And he's buried within your heart, the depth of your soul. And it's there that he wants you to be able to let go of everything so that you can have him alone.